You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
When we wet our whistle at a bar, we have a WH in whistle, but not in wet.
That's what they say. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now over Skype is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hi, Ann.
Good morning.
This week's question comes from me. A couple weeks ago, I was reading an article and I was scrolling through the comments and somebody, and this didn't have anything to do with the content of the article, but the author had used the phrase wet your whistle. And somebody in the comments was like, isn't it supposed to be W-H-E-T, your whistle? The author had said W-E-T. And I didn't even know W-H-E-T was a thing. Can you explain this, Anne?
I can. And in the article, Rebecca, what did wet your whistle mean?
It meant to get a drink. I don't remember the exact contents, but it had to do something with getting a drink.
Exactly. And that's the historical meaning of this phrase. To wet your whistle is to have a drink, especially alcohol. And I hadn't realized how old this phrase is. It goes back to Chaucer, the Reeve's Tale in the Canterbury Tales, 1386. Now, there is a false story out there for where this comes from. And the false story is that many years ago in England, that people in pubs had cups that had been specially designed with a whistle baked into the rim or the handle of the cup so that when they needed more alcohol, they could quickly blow on the whistle and get more alcohol.
That seems complicated. Nobody would do that. Nobody would design a cup like that.
This is exactly right. And I have to say, when you hear stories like this, be suspicious. This is not where wet your whistle comes from. Wet your whistle comes from the use of whistle to refer to the mouth or the throat, which we can understand that in terms of one whistling, actually whistling and talking. So to wet your whistle is to drink, and perhaps your mouth is parched, and so you drink and you wet your whistle. Now, the wet your whistle with W-H-E-T goes back to the 1600s. In other words, there's been confusion between wet W-E-T and wet W-H-E-T for hundreds of years. Now, Rebecca, you said that the W-H-E-T word is not a particularly familiar one to you.
If by not particularly you mean not at all, then yes.
The verb wet, W-H-E-T, means to sharpen, often to sharpen a tool on a stone. And there is a thing called a whetstone. And wet, W-H-E-T, started to be used metaphorically for sharpening other things like one's wit or one's interest or one's appetite. And we still use wetting one's appetite to sharpen your appetite. Now, what's interesting to me, Rebecca, is I started looking at wet your whistle as a phrase, and I think we should be watching this one because not everybody's using this to mean have a drink. I asked one friend, how do you use wet your whistle? And she licked her lips in the sense of I'm getting ready to talk. I'm sort of getting my mouth ready to talk. I asked someone else, and she said to wet your appetite. And then she said, no, to have a drink. That's my final answer. But you can see there's some confusion between wet one's whistle and wet one's appetite. I have also found examples of wet one's whistle to mean float your boat or make you happy. I found an article where they were describing this food that you could find at a food fair, and they said, and if that food doesn't wet your whistle, then you can try this other food. So we're not talking about drink, we're talking about food. And then in TechCrunch from this July, I found an example, and I'm going to read it to you. We're about to highlight a few of the InfoPack presentations on tap today just to wet your whistle.
Just to give you a taste.
Exactly. So there's, again, this kind of confusion between wetting your appetite and wetting your whistle. And here it's being used metaphorically. So something's going on with wet your whistle. It's changing meaning all around us right now.
Well, Anne, thanks for wetting our grammar whistles. Is that a thing? It is now because I said it.
That's exactly right. That's how language works, Rebecca.
All right. Thanks so much.
Have a really good Sunday.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.